Welcome to the Geek Embassy Watches Game of Thrones. I'm your host, Regina McMenemy, and I'm here with Nicole and Isabella. Say hello, everybody.
Hello.
And we are talking about the season finale of season 7. And we're recording the day after it aired. Like, this is the fastest that we've done this, guys. Because this is how dedicated we are to talking about this episode and how excited we are.
Well, we would have done all of our talking, like, offline if we did.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Like, we just had to do it because we were already, like, chatting with each other. And Nicole's like, let's save it for the show.
Yeah.
So we saved it for the show. So, you know, typical, let's give you the spoiler warning just to make sure. Right. Fair. We're going to spoil everything. We're going to talk about episode 7, season 7. I have every belief that we'll talk about the other episodes as well, even though we are focused on season 7. And what we're going to do is we're going to do this as our initial reactions to the finale, and then we're going to record another episode next week where we sort of look at the season as a whole and maybe talk a little bit about what we think is going to come from there. Although we can touch on that tonight too. So,
So
what were your first impressions, my friends?
Yeah, we say everything's been moving really fast. It moved really, 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 really fast
really
this
fast.
Episode. But yes. I mean, the season finale of last year too sort of felt the same way to me. It seemed like everything was just going boom, 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 boom. And I mean, this really could have, there are lots of things that it could have slowed down with, like, just a little. I think some of it's a little,
A little too rushed.
A little too rushed. I mean, even though it was an hour and a half.
Yeah.
It was still,
Yeah, it was funny. That it was an hour and a half kept throwing me off. Because I have sort of like an internal clock, I think, for it.
Right.
You know, so like I have that time where I'm starting to feel like, oh, it's going to come to the end. And I felt that like, oh, this is going to be it. And I'm like sitting there, I'm like, oh, that's not it. Okay. 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 We're on another scene. Okay. This is going to be it. And
I kind of did that after the huge scene. Like, even at the scene at like the dragon pits, I was like, is this it? This feels like an ending. This can't be it. How much time is left? And then I was like, there's still so much time left. What's going to happen?
It's turned into one of those video games that fake you out where you think like, oh, this is the end.
Yeah.
Perfect about that. It did like 5 times for me during playing that game.
Yes, but I remember talking about that.
It's totally the same thing, for sure.
Yeah, that fake out. Like, I kept having that, and even then. So, you know, I was watching it with Chris, and they're at the wall, and the army comes forward, and Chris said, okay, he's going to fly out on the dragon, and it's going to fade to black, and that's going to be the end of it.
I thought it would do that, too.
Because that would, you know, that would kind of follow suit with, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I guess they wanted to blow their CGI budget on one scene.
Hey. But you
that
know
seems
what?
To be, like, the theme of this season.
Yeah.
You know, the wall coming down, being the last thing that you see, I think is actually, it's a cool thing. I mean, it's one thing.
I agree.
You see the army come out and be like, okay, how are they going to, are they going to be able to get past? How are they going to get past? But no, you see it come down and then, you know. Yeah.
Well, and didn't it follow right on the heels? No, it didn't, because it followed right on the heels of the montage. But echoing in my head were Cersei's words to Jaime, where she said, you know, that, or even she said, I don't remember actually, she said it to Jamie. She might have reiterated it to Jamie, and she said it in the Dragon Pit. Was that it?
Dragon Pit.
She said in Dragon Pit, where she's like, there's a wall that's protected for ages. You know, it's not going to protect anymore. Yeah. And I'm just like,
I want to see that reaction.
Right. Those words are like echoing through my head as it's falling down. Oh, that wall is not protecting you anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we all sort of knew that it was, if not coming down, they were going to be able to get through some
past
way.
It, yeah.
Yeah. But,
okay, but that's my question. What was his plan?
Whose?
The Night King's plan to get through the wall before he conveniently got a dragon.
Well, now here's what I'm wondering about the Night King. I think the Night King, because there's been these theories that I'm not completely sold on about how Bran is the Night King.
Yeah, no.
Which and I I'm think not, it's just too crazy.
I think it's ridiculous. It's a little too far-fetched. However, I do think that the Night King possesses some of the same powers that Bran has.
Yeah.
And I think
like the one that he's maybe a warg or something.
Right. Yeah. And maybe not a warg, but I think
or something.
He can see what's going on.
Yeah. I think he can see. Yeah. I think he can do much like that's why I think he identifies and can pick out when Bran is in the crows.
Right. Yeah.
He's got the same power and he can recognize it because he was made by the children
of
the forest. You know, he was brought. It's the same magic, so it follows that he'd have the same ability. So I think he knew there were dragons, and I think he knew the possibility of her bringing the dragons was, you know, something that could, you know,
happen.
And so, because how else would he have been ready with, like, he literally had three spears. If you look at the scene, he's got three spears, he's ready to go, and I know he knew they were there and he knew there was a possibility of them. I don't know exactly how he knew that information. You know, it could be that, you know, we did see that they have some sort of hive mind, right? They have some way that they are all connected, that they have like a general and they work as kind of a pod where you kill the general and you kill the ones that he's turned. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's like the Borg where when they assimilate you, they take all your knowledge.
Yeah.
So, and he would have been assimilating people from, you know, the wall and from, you know, whoever else that John had brought to fight would have had that knowledge of the dragons. And maybe that's like how he learned it.
Someone somewhere had heard that there's someone with dragons who's, you know, the one thing that could get you. But if you manage to turn one of them.
Right.
Yeah.
You'll have this, you know, immense power.
So, I guess that makes sense.
That's the only thing I can think. There had to have been some way because like, he was just too prepared. It was too perfectly prepared. And, you know, he had to practice that arm. There's no way.
I know, man. It's like you could compete in javelin in the Olympics.
There were tons that showed him, like, with a javelin, like, jacket on and a gold medal, you know, memes afterward. Like, every Olympic team wanting to recruit him.
Yeah. But I agree with you. I think he knew that they were coming. So, yeah. But then, you know, even when we saw him get the dragon last episode, it didn't click with me that could be the way that the wall would come down. Mm. And then I saw him fly by and then like there's fire shot. I'm like, oh.
Right.
This is happening.
I guess the only thing that can bring down the wall is like magic fire.
Yeah.
I was still kind of disappointed that it got knocked. Like, it's supposed to be, like, filled with so much magic, and it's still...
Yeah.
I was wondering about brought down by fire.
One of the...
Dragon fire seems a little...
Yeah, one of the theories that I had read was that there was an ice dragon in the wall, and that was part of where the magic had come from.
I know, but I've always found that one a little too crazy
for me. I agree. But I wondered if... I didn't think he was going to, like, fly out. Like, I didn't think he was in it, but... But I always thought there had to be some sort of connection between the dragons and the wall. But
I guess.
I don't know. Just because it just.
Is the wall older than the Targaryens?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Like everybody living in this time assumes that the wall was built to keep the wildlings out. I'm like, who can think that? Obviously, the wall was built to keep the White Walkers out. It was built the last time that they showed up.
Ancient. So,
yeah.
And that's before any of the Targaryens and their dragons and stuff came over from...
Yeah. Like, the markings that they found in the cave in Dragonstone, I think were probably the first recorded things about the White Walkers. And I bet you, you know, they were making the point, this asking about whether or not the Army of the Dead can swim. And so it seems to me like the Children of the Forest and the First Men probably fled to Dragonstone because...
Oh, that would make sense.
Yeah, they couldn't follow them there. Yeah. And then they made all their markings. Look, these guys exist. They're bad. How they went away, I don't know. It became spring. I have no idea how they disappeared the last time.
Yeah.
No. Anyhow. Not enough records kept, good records kept
right.
at the Citadel, as Sam enough. so wonderfully told us.
Yeah, I know, of course. Well, he just had Ditch's responsibilities and not finish the... Yeah,
and steal Gilly's thunder.
I know. I saw so many memes about that. Everybody's like, dude, you stole your girlfriend. like
you weren't paying attention. You just didn't care.
Right. Yeah, I know, exactly. Yeah.
But wait, it was, you know. I don't know. I have a hard time with that just because he didn't even acknowledge the name when she said it.
Yeah.
Like anything about it.
It's, yeah. I don't know. I mean, some of the things they're written very conveniently.
Yes.
Which happens, you know, lots of times. Enough. And I was talking to Isaac about, the last episode where the ravens and the dragons fly unbelievably fast. And he pointed out that like, he couldn't get past that either. And it was like, it was just an example of sloppy writing. Like they're just getting messy. And not, you know, focusing so much because they know they've got a huge audience. They know it's not going anywhere. Yeah. So, and they've got all these.
Spent 7 years watching the show.
Yeah.
And they have to make it make sense.
Yeah, exactly. Don't throw it all out at this point, but yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, the teleporter. Right. The teleporter timelines.
I don't have as big of an issue with that. It's like, you know, okay, yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But
it still makes me kind of go, what? But I'm not like...
Yeah, I'm not mad at it. I'm not going to stop watching it over that. I mean, you know, it takes a lot to push me into stop. Because, you know, as I have said many times on the show before, I am addicted to the story and I will finish things I hate just because I have to know how they end sometimes.
Yeah.
And I don't feel that way about this. But because of these things, I do think they are taking some shortcuts and they're doing some things that I don't think they need to do to make this story move at the pace it's moving at. But you know, but they are, you know, think of how much more action there was in this season. I mean, just so much more happened in this season than it has in the previous ones. So,
like I said, they kind of blew their CGI budget this round. No wonder they only had 7 episodes. I mean,
I imagine their budget is pretty big at this point.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just, you know, I looked and there was some video that I was watching that was talking about the wigs that Emilia Clarke wears cost like $200,000 each. And she can only wear them like once, maybe twice, because it's actual hair and the way something about the smoke or whatever the material is, maybe it's not actual hair, the way the smoke interacts with the material of the, like, ruins them. So she literally can't wear them. So with all the ambient, like, candles and stuff.
Yeah.
She gets to wear them once and that's pretty much it. So, you know, just that alone.
Yeah. And you know, for a lot of the big battles and stuff, like CGI is a part of it, but they do so much that is practical. Not CGI.
Well,
did
you guys see like the behind the scenes for the lake scene last episode?
Yeah.
Where they were like, we spent like weeks.
Yeah.
Putting together this fake lake,
yeah,
in a quarry, and made it look exactly like ice. And I was like, this is kind of insane.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's still filmed in location in Iceland.
Yes.
On top of that.
Yeah. Which you can watch Tormund and the Hound singing a duet on Instagram. If you'd like to see what like going stir crazy looks like on set,
yes, so funny,
crazy guys.
It's funny enough when you see the Hound singing, but then like Tormund turns the camera to himself. He's like, "But up, but that's what did it."
Yeah, it was really the interaction of it that. Yeah. it was hilarious. Yeah, and Jon Snow trying to take off as a dragon.
It's a dragon.
That's cool.
Oh my god.
So ridiculous.
I mean, obviously you get bored. Like, who knows how long he was standing out there on that cliff, because it looks like they were filming the spot where he was, you know, petting the dragon.
Right.
And so, you know, they would probably have to do like a bazillion takes just to make sure he was getting his hand in the right place.
Yeah.
You know, so who knows how long. staying out there.
He's actually been out on that bluff trying to get like that one shot.
I mean, he really only has the one outfit.
He really does.
Like this entire time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you get used to it.
He's had like two outfits the entire series. There's his Night's Watch outfit, which was just black, and then he's got this semi-modified Stark outfit that is dark blue brown.
Right.
Yeah, that's the only. He got a new cloak. You know,
Sansa
got a new cloak, but
yeah, that's pretty much all he's had in terms of
poor guy.
And he's had to have the same hair the whole time too.
Oh,
that's hilarious.
I don't know. It'd probably be bad. We're totally getting off topic. I was going to say, it'd probably be bad for him if he cut it at this point.
Yeah. It's kind of part of his signature now.
Yeah.
He doesn't or get away with it.
Didn't they use his hair, like, as, like a trick to, like, be like, oh, he's, like, when people were talking about whether he, like, actually died or not on the show.
Right, yeah.
They were like, he hasn't cut his hair. That must mean he's coming back.
Right.
And I was like, oh, you guys.
Yeah.
We're getting a little
That's what everybody keeps saying about one of the characters with Daryl on The Walking Dead, because he is, you know, said many times, the actor has said that he hates the long hair. So they know that he's going to, like, be dead when he cuts his hair. Can't cut his hair for the show, so
they're never gonna kill him, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, I know, of course they can't. They can't, because they think that people are seriously gonna revolt. All right, so let's talk a little bit more about the specifics of the episode since we're actually jumping around a bit. So let's talk about Dragon Pit and our negotiations with Cersei.
You called that one too, Regina.
What was that?
I said you called that one too.
Oh, Danny, this was the dragon entrance.
I didn't think he was, like, to put it this way, extra enough to actually fly in on a dragon, but I guess she is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there was no doubt in my mind she was going to enter on the dragons.
Yeah. I was like, Danny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Turn it down a notch.
No. Yeah.
She couldn't. Not
for Cersei. You can have him fly him overhead, but you have to actually land on a dragon.
Oh, no. Like, she had to land. Well, I mean, you know, but I could understand that because, like she says in the later scene when she's talking to Jon, you know, the symbolic feeling of the dragon pit as being the symbol of the beginning of the downfall for her family.
Yeah.
You know, Cersei knew what she was doing. Like, she put this meeting in the dragon pit on purpose to mess with her. So, you know, okay, fine. You want to mess with me? My dragon's going to land here.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it was probably just as much as, like, a jab at her to have Cersei, like, have Jaime at her side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because Jaime did kill Danny's father.
Yeah.
Would have, had he had the chance, I'm sure he would have killed her as a child, because they were, you know, that's why they ran with them, because they knew they were in danger.
Also, too, she, Danny, just in general, she's not as sort of formidable, just her. Like, if she just showed
like,
up,
seriously?
She's small and she's, you know, so, so Cersei would have just, like,
she would have eaten her alive. Yeah.
But she landed on the dragon. And I love that. Cersei's like, we've been here for some time. Danny's like, apologies.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. That's awesome.
She should have done like a hair flip at that point.
Right.
To add insult to injury for the fact that Cersei has no hair anymore. Sporting the short hair. Like,
yeah.
Just take this like one little wish that's in her face and be like, apologies. Yeah. Well, I thought that too, because even as she was sitting, like her posture and the way she kind of sat with her hands on her lap, and she was very kind of small and demure and very proper. I thought that too, that, you know, she really did need, I think, she just needed to throw. She needed to throw down.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, which is, you know, and Cersei called it too later when she was talking to Jaime. She's like, she only had two of her dragons. Something happened.
Yeah.
She this is a show of force. Like, you know, she had the Dothraki, she had the Unsullied, like, at the gates. So, you know, there's no way she wasn't going to come. She was right. Of course, she didn't realize that, you know, what happened was worse than she could have imagined, because now the Night King has the dragon, and because they don't know that, right? They don't know that he's...
No, they don't know yet.
Yeah. I think Bran is the only one that knows, because that's the way he was in a vision to see the last part, right? Isn't that what happened? I don't remember.
That's what I assumed happened. Because it showed him with like the at the tree with the white eyes, and then it like faded.
Yeah.
To the wall.
Yeah, right. Because there were
the ravens too that flew to the wall.
Yeah.
I assume that's what happened.
Yeah. No, that's totally it. I forgot about the flock of ravens that.
Yeah.
Because Tormund like looked up at them.
Looks up at them and then is walking out on the. Oh, yeah, Tormund.
So, I know. Do you think he's gone?
No.
That would be a really dumb death.
It would be really dumb. And he's, you know.
Same with, is it Beric?
Beric? Dondarrion. Yeah.
Yes, because he was there.
He was there. He was there too.
Yes.
So that would be a waste of a last life. Just die in a wall collapse.
Yeah, like there's no way. Because like he said, do you think the Lord of Light brought us back to have us die in a frozen lake or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're probably right that he's going to come back too. Somehow. I don't know what.
I don't know how anyone survived that.
Because Tormund has to go make babies with Brienne. Because ever since he said that, I cannot get the image out of my head about them having babies. To make babies with her. Beautiful giant creatures. It's like, yeah, they really would be. But yes.
This better not be this is my last day on the Force and he dies kind of deal. Like there's always that one guy in the movie who's like, this is my last day. And then he doesn't make it.
Yeah. No, we'll see. We'll see. I think he's going to come back just because I don't think they can let a character that beloved go out like in such a like pathetic way. Like you're just melted to death because that's essentially what would happen to people who are
I don't know though. Like it surprised me how many people got taken out in the Septa Baylor explosion.
That's true.
That was kind of
ridiculous. But we like saw it happen though.
Yeah.
There was no doubt.
Yeah.
But right.
It didn't really show.
It didn't show anything.
It showed them running away and then that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just saying it's not unheard of.
It's not uncommon. Well, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see. They're gonna have a lot of angry fans.
Yeah, that's the other thing I'm worried about going forward is that like they're getting they're being very reticent about who they
kill, because of the fan. Yeah.
And when I was watching that thing last night, I thought that they were gonna do like this unbelievably shocking thing and have the Mountain kill Jaime. Like I thought that was
I was about to scream. I was like, no.
You know where you like inhale and you like start holding your breath like
yes.
I was doing that. No, that cannot happen.
Yeah. I mean, as much as I didn't want Jaime to die, I'm like, well, at least that would have done something that they haven't been doing. You know what I'm saying? Like it would be more
broken.
Because
the major death was Littlefinger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As satisfying as that was. Oh my god.
Yeah.
I know. Just watching him choke on his own words was just like
I know. He's just standing on the wall looking all smug. Yeah.
All right. He's literally like lounging like in the corner.
Yeah.
Where he's been the whole time.
Yeah.
He's like, haha, my plan is working.
Yeah, he's been in that exact same position like the entire season. He stood off on the corner in that room, you know, just doing that same stance. And then she turns to him and it was just gorgeous.
Yeah. That was wonderful.
Yeah.
I loved it.
To watch
him. I mean, you knew, because we were saying we were confused about what was going on there. But as soon as I saw Bran sitting at the table with Sansa, I'm like, there's no way he wouldn't have told them.
Right.
What Littlefinger's doing. So Bran was there. So I'm like, this is it. He's getting his.
Good.
Well, the actor did such a great job from going like, you know, smug satisfaction to like, huh? What? What did you just say?
At which point I was like, you didn't imagine this, did you?
You're right. Yeah. Exactly. My worst imaginings. I didn't imagine you were coming after me. Right?
Yeah. And also like he did a really good job in the way that he totally lost his composure.
Oh my god.
Because like Littlefinger has been just cool no matter what. Mm-hmm. And he just completely lost it there, which was was
really like, cool. Did you notice that he was like switching tactics like left and right? Like, like trying to see like which one is going to stick, which one is going to stick.
Yes. Right.
And like, yeah. Working.
Sansa, yeah. I love you. I loved your mother. Hey, you guys.
I've always loved you more.
Yeah. But I truly loved you. I loved her since I was a child, but I truly loved you. And then, yeah.
And then he goes to the Knights of the Vale and he's like, defend me.
Yeah.
And the guy just like, no.
Yeah.
I think we talked about this earlier, Regina, not on the show, but maybe in Gaming with the Moms, and we were talking about it, how you know, Sansa was still sitting on the knowledge of the fact that he had murdered Lysa.
Yeah.
And so it was cool that came back out.
Yeah, so. I was waiting for that.
She realized that. How did she find that out?
She was there.
She was there.
Did she see?
Yeah. Lysa was about to throw her down the moon door because she had seen Littlefinger kiss Sansa. And then Littlefinger comes in and he does this stupid little thing like, oh, I've only ever loved one woman ever in my life. And she's standing like smiling like, oh, it's me. And he's like, your sister. And he shoves her.
Right. Yeah. I completely forgot that's how that went down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
That's right. So Sansa has been just been like, you did just kill my aunt.
Yep. Yeah, she watched it. So when he was trying to say, none of you were there.
Yeah.
Sansa was there.
Like, yeah. No, I did actually see you do that. And so, it was smart of her to keep that so close to the vest to, you know, to hold it against him that way, you know, to the point where, you know, he was so overconfident. I mean, that was always the thing, you know.
Yeah.
The hubris was finally what got him, was that he believed he knew her well enough to know that she wasn't capable of that, even though he had trained her perfectly to be, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And the earlier interaction with them towards the beginning, you can sort of tell that she's kind of baiting him.
Yeah.
The way that she's talking.
That too.
Like, she was playing into his hand a little too well at that point.
Yeah.
I was like, really?
He's not picking up on this. I'm like, you should be savvy enough. He should be savvy enough. He should have known something was up with that.
Yeah. You know, I think he still thinks that she's innocent, naive little girl that he can control.
He didn't take the lesson that John took when John's like, oh, she's starting to show people.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And also, like, the other thing, he's the one who taught her all this stuff. Like, seriously, you think she wasn't listening to you for the last 2 years or however long it's been that you've been with her? So
yeah, exactly. That was the thing that was just, you know, how could you think that she was not? But
yeah,
underestimated her.
Yeah, but that's totally awesome how they decided to do that, though, too.
Yeah.
It's like, let's fake him out. Let's bring Arya in here and make it look like she's going to get executed, and then nope. And then I loved too, Arya's look. She just steps to the side.
Mm-hmm.
And was like,
Yeah, and just kind of tilts her head and looks at him.
Yeah.
Very satisfied look. And you called it because you said Arya.
Arya with the dagger. With
the cat's paw dagger in Winterfell.
Yep.
So in a way, they both kind of kill him.
Yes.
At least, which I think is satisfying. Yes. Like Arya said, like Sansa put down the sentence and Arya executed him.
Yeah. Well, and Bran too, because Bran told them, you know, how he said, well, you held a dagger to his throat, you know.
Yeah.
With Ned when he was talking about Ned. So he stepped up for it too. So
yeah, this other Littlefinger mistake was giving the dagger to Bran. I don't know what he thought he was going to accomplish by that. I still don't know what he thought he was going to accomplish.
He was just getting too cocky, I think.
Yeah, well, I think he was trying to sow some sort of discontent between them, and I think that he thought that was the road for it.
Yeah, and nobody could expect Bran come back the way that he is.
No, of course.
Yeah.
Because everybody has, I loved how they mimicked when Sam came in and he's talking to Bran, and Bran goes, well, I'm the three-eyed raven. And he says, and Sam's just like, what that is. And that's the exact same thing Sansa said. It's the exact same words. I don't know what that is.
Yeah. And then before that, he was like, oh?
Yeah.
Oh. That's nice.
That's lovely. Let me tell you about what I found in my books.
Right.
I cured somebody with dragon scale.
Yeah.
No, but
Yeah.
It's funny.
Yeah, I thought it was weird how they I mean, I guess I get why they put it together like that, but I still don't.
Put what together?
Put together that John was Rhaegar's legitimate son. Like, because they had the two pieces, but they hadn't right. quite put it together that way.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, the talking about that whole scene, that whole Daenerys and Jon in the boat.
Oh God!
Another and one you called, Regina.
Another one I called. Yeah,
in the boat. Before.
Yes. Yep. I got it. I got a few. I did. I'm very pleased. I have to say, I'm very pleased with myself. And I was checking them off as we were watching the episode. And I'm like, okay, Nicole called this. And I called that like, and I did that one and that one, and then I told Chris that you thought that Tyrion was in love with her, and then he's lurking in the hallway
looking very sad.
Yes.
And, I believe that theory now a little bit more now that
that he's in love with her.
Yeah, after that scene.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely something. There's definitely something there. I'm not 100% sure what it is, but I wouldn't be surprised given his, I mean, you know, Cersei said it too. She's your kind of woman, you know, and in a lot of ways she is, because he does like women that have that kind of like authority and that, you know, kind of, you know, act in a certain way. I can see her being a little like Shay in some ways in her mind.
Yeah. Kind of unapologetic.
Yes, you know, exactly. Just who she is. Yeah. And I think he really appreciates that about just people in general. I mean, I think that's why he likes Bronn too. I think Bronn is the same kind of personality. So that montage where they have John and Dany in the boat and Rhaegar and Lyanna's marriage and Bran and Sam, like all of those things, like that whole sequence didn't work for me. Like, at all.
It felt to me, and I said, I watched it inside the episode, and they said that was very deliberate.
Like, well, they were trying to, like, build tension around information that we already knew, and, like, I could understand that, but it just, the editing of it was so forced that I found myself constantly taken out of the moment of each one of the stories.
Yeah. I just, I don't know, the whole... I mean, I'm, like I've said, disappointed John and Dany hooked up because I think it's so predictable. But at the same time, man, everyone's like, oh, there's all this chemistry. I'm
like, what chemistry?
They're
so awkward.
I know. I know. I'm like, just baffling because they used to date. Like, seriously.
Right.
How could they, like, just, I don't know. It's weird. It's like maybe they're trying not to fall in love again or something. I have no idea.
That could possibly.
It's really, really odd and just uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Well, that, and I sent you guys the article about, or like, it was just a thread about how stupidly awkward that whole like love scene was. Because I'll admit, I probably would have been fine if they had cut it like where they shut the door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we all know what's happening,
right.
Yeah.
Well, as soon
but then they have to keep going.
Right. As soon as I saw that there was nudity in the scene, I'm like,
right. I know exactly.
On.
I know. That's what I thought too. I'm like, oh, I don't even need to see it. Is he called that one?
It's like, but you know, and I don't know, like. I agree that it could have ended with the door closing and that would have been enough, because that's what they did in Wonder Woman. And I loved that's what they did in Wonder Woman. That
right. It echoed that, like, really, it was that same type of scene, but they could have just stopped.
There wasn't anything said between them. It was just, you know, all insinuated, and it could have just gone there.
There wasn't even a kiss. I think that's what that Twitter feed that you sent.
Right. It's really unsatisfying to, like, if you're going to fade it out, fade it out.
Right.
But don't fade it out, like, skip all, like, the actually important, like, interesting stuff.
Yeah. The actual connection.
And then just go to them having sex.
Yeah.
Really weirdly. And there was, like, that felt really disconnected for me. And it was, like, the peak awkward.
Right. Well, and then to cut it with, you know, with this... a really sweet, lovely scene of the, you know, the secret wedding. And to have it be like, I understand, like, they're trying to force the parallels on you, and I get it, but why? Like, it just ruined, both of them for me. And I, you know, I would have been fine, like, with the door just closing, and especially with Tyrion's angsty look in the hallway.
Yeah,
but then it cuts back to him, like, 5 minutes later, still standing outside the door.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are you doing?
He's like, apparently become a creeper. As well, like, I don't know, I don't know, but I just the whole thing was just like, yeah, I was glad that I was right about what happened, but
at the same time,
I didn't want. Okay, yeah. I knew that was probably what was going to happen, but I didn't want it to happen like that because that was like the most like fast forwarded like romance we've ever had on the show.
Yeah. Just like, yeah, well, and it was just it's been too heavy handed with all of the talk about how she's infertile, like,
yeah, right. Like, this like was it's like the 10th, like, the 10th reference to her fertility
in this season has mentioned that she can't have babies. And I'm like, you don't even freaking know this for real, like, what she says to her, which I'm glad somebody finally is like, maybe a witch didn't have like the best
information,
the best information, like, you know, maybe this isn't true, like, come on. Yeah. And because you know,
she's only what, like, been with
Dario
yeah.
after Drogo.
That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah,
she really hasn't done much else. So,
like, there's no, she doesn't have any empirical proof. It's not like she's been trying to get pregnant for her.
Right. There's no, like fake medieval ultrasound.
Right.
in this area.
I'm trying to figure out some way the ravens could figure it out. Like, maybe Bran could warg into her uterus.
Sorry. That's just wow.
This is also the problem I have with Cersei's pregnancy. I'm like, I still how she's
pregnant? Like,
how did they know? What kind of magic test did she take?
Right. Yeah. Like, I still don't believe her. I think she's just using that as a manipulation. I think she manipulated Tyrion on purpose.
Yeah.
She totally tipped her hand on purpose to get him to figure out. And he thinks
she pointedly stared at that glass of wine. Like,
right.
Yeah.
You see I'm not drinking this. And
Yeah. She totally did it on purpose to manipulate him. And I think she's using it as a means of manipulating Jaime too. Interesting for me that Jaime's turning point was her giving her word to help and then not.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it took.
I know.
Well, this is like...
Reason number 533 why.
The world is ending and you're still not going to play nice with others.
Right. You're still going to make empty promises.
I can understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, sort of a parallel a little bit for him because he swore an oath and then killed the person he was supposed to protect. So he's, you know, obviously we've been talking about how he's changed so much throughout the course of the season that he probably feels guilty about that now, I think. And then he's seeing her sort of do the same thing. So it's actually going to be interesting. You know, we saw him riding off north by himself. Mm-hmm. If he's going to have direct interaction with Dany and how that will go down, because that would be super interesting to see.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to
the Jaime and the Brienne reunion.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to as well. Because she's going to be the in. Like, he's going to need to connect to her to connect to the group, because she's going to be able to entree him to them. Because otherwise, like, if he just walks up there, they're going to think he's, well, I don't know. I guess they're allied right now.
He's going to go up there and be like, my crazy sister's lying.
Yeah.
We need to figure out how we're going to fix this.
Yeah. We need to really take care of this crazy woman that I had a bunch of kids with.
Which is also why I'm surprised that, like, I really did think she was going to kill him.
I thought so, too.
But I was also surprised she let him go.
Yeah.
I still think there's going to be a bounty on his head, and I think he's in grave danger. So let's hope he gets on whatever magical transporter makes people travel within, you know, half a day's journey.
Apparently that also applies to the weather, because now it is suddenly winter overnight in King's Landing.
I will note that they have been darkening the scenes in King's Landing. It's been very subtle, but they haven't made them darker. Okay. They have been making more clouds than they had been if you look at the people in the scenes that aren't, you know, the main people, they're starting to wear more clothes. There's, you know, because they were always like, if you look back in the first seasons,
they're like barely wearing anything.
Yeah, like they're in like the dresses, like, I mean, you know, like in the brothels or whatever. But even like Marjorie was always in like sheer fabrics and no sleeves and all that. And even that had started to change. So it had started to get, I think, colder.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I guess I just pay enough attention to the backgrounds like you do. I can only pay attention to one thing at a time.
Well, and I've also been watching them on multiple times, so I've been trying to pick up on some of the subtleties of things because of that. And that was that's part of what's going on with it, is I wanted to know, and I wanted to see how things were changing, because winter was really, you know, so extreme in the north, it had to have started to move south.
Yeah.
So. Right. But it is poignant, of course, that Jamie catches the first like snowflake on his glove or whatever.
Oh, come on. How cheesy was that, though?
It was pretty. I know, but I love
it. It's like the last glimmer of hope has left King's Landing and winter has come.
Yes. Well, and it's him leaving. That was if it had just like kind of happened, it was the fact that he was leaving and it happened. Like
Right. Like that was the last of Cersei's humanity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I do have one nitpicky thing that we have to talk about.
Okay. Oh my god. Okay, I'm ready.
I'm not gonna have many. I have only watched it once, so I'm gonna go back and watch it again. However, I might need to do a whole like series rewatch to answer this question. Bran, to my knowledge, has not been able to choose the moments in time he goes back to.
Right.
No.
He can warg into the present.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But generally, he does not choose where he goes back to. So how, in this last episode, is he so conveniently able to, at Sam's urging, just drop himself into the wedding scene?
Well, I don't think exactly conveniently, because the three-eyed raven that he learned from could take him wherever he wanted to go.
Right.
So maybe that's just his powers are getting stronger. Yeah, getting
stronger. So he's been like training.
When he came back to Winterfell, he's like, I need to learn to see better. So, you know, I think that
that's why he's been so.
It might just be convenient, but I'm just saying it's possible.
It is possible.
Yeah, I think it's just getting better. Really, like that was a convenient way to show that, and you know, we've got this person that can see into the past,
right?
So we can like confirm all this information that they found in this book.
Yeah, because I had a standing theory, too, that he could only see the past when he was at the Godswood.
Yeah.
I think the Godswood is just, like, a medium for his power.
Right.
Where it, like, amplifies his ability to, like, focus it.
Well, and now that he's at Winterfell, there's a Godswood there, so maybe he's within proximity enough of it to still draw its power, even though he's not in it. But in the earlier seasons, when he first gets the power and he's traveling with the sister, who I can't remember whose name.
Mira.
See, thank you. It's so good. I'm glad we have somebody who knows the names. Mira. when he's traveling with Mira, he has to be touching the dogswood or the dogwood.
That's the dog in background. It does kind of look like dogwood.
It does. Yes. But he has to be on the godswood he has to be touching it to see, period. Like he can ward.
Yeah.
And he can see the present, but he can't get into it. So maybe it is that evolution is happening, and maybe that's why he's being so.
That's why I think at the end it showed him at the Godswood, work like going all the way to the wall, because it's a long. It's like it's a multiple animals. It's a longer distance.
Yeah,
that could be.
So maybe it is just like an amplifier to like.
Yeah.
Tune that.
Mm-hmm.
Tune his
abilities. Yeah.
I think it was really convenient.
I thought it was very
just
convenient.
Like, oh, let me just pop into that time.
Let me just go exactly where I want to go. I'm like, well, this is the first time this has happened.
Yeah. How about you just conveniently pop into the time where we find out how to defeat the Night King? And then we can be
the ink is dry. Oh. Sorry. So, yeah,
I hate that theory of that, because then what is the point anymore?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like, why do we have people who can see or can warg if we can't do anything to change? And now we can't change the fact that, of course, Daenerys and Jon have consummated their incestual feelings for each other.
You know, one of the creators in the Inside the Episode thing, he's like talking about that whole sequence, like saying when it was cut and very purposefully had Bran's voiceover going on there. And then it stops at the end, he's like, and she's his aunt. So I feel like they were like almost maybe trying to make us feel even more uncomfortable than we already were. So,
And well, and that was one of the things, if you continued on in that thread that Isabella had sent, that was one of the things that one of the people had pointed out to the person who had posted that, like, it was supposed to be gross. So it skipped the intimacy and the things that would have sort of eased you into feeling good about it in order to heighten the fact that you really don't want these characters to be together.
Yeah, but half of the fandom does seem to want them together.
I know.
I don't buy it because, well, this is getting into the theories a little bit, but if they need to, like, have an actual connection, they're going to have to do that some way. So I don't know why you would skip out on that now.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It can't be for time since it was already an hour and a half long. Oh, but I will say this. So on the first day of class this semester, because I have my students, when they do introductions, I often have them tell what their favorite character is from a book or TV show or whatever. And so they asked me what my favorite Game of Thrones character was this year. I think I said this on last week's episode, or the last episode we recorded. And I said Tyrion. Well, I have decided to change my answer. And my answer is now Sansa.
Yes!
Because she is, like, her transformation is by far my favorite.
Yeah.
Because Tyrion has always been Tyrion.
Tyrion hasn't changed. Tyrion hasn't changed, which I appreciate of him because I liked who he was from the beginning.
Like, he's gone through some stuff. He's killed some people.
Yeah. Like, he's changed but in some small ways, but he's always kind of remained who he is at his core. And I think the core of who Sansa is has changed.
Yeah.
And I think I appreciate that.
Her principles and her strengths. And
Well, and she sees herself differently. You know, Tyrion always knew he was something different than what everybody saw him as. But Sansa didn't know that in the beginning. Sansa was just, you know, the pretty face, and that's all she wanted to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I like, too, how it looks like, you know, Arya and their relationship is getting closer now.
Yes.
Which is so cool because, you know, they've always been like, at all. It's completely.
I know. I can't wait to see what happens when Jon comes back with the Daenerys and the whole thing.
I know. Like,
what is this going to be?
I think he's going to break literally on a Mormont's heart.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that. I
forgot about that.
Yeah, I'm serious. Think that she's in love with him. Yeah,
I do.
She's just going to be like, oh.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, like, if you look at all of her interactions with him, like, the first time she sees him, then she's like, whoa, dude, you don't mean anything. But then the next time, like, she's the only one that goes to the parley with Ramsay. She's the one who declares him king. This episode, she was very, very much against him leaving the North. She was the first to say that, too. Yeah, I think that she's got a little crush on him.
Yeah. Well, it's it's understandable. Yeah. Now that he has a backbone, I have a little crush on him too.
She's also like a 10-year-old girl, so
that too.
Well, the other thing is
one eligible guy in that. Yeah.
They have been saying that she's 10 for like 4 seasons. So
that's right. She's like 14.
She can't still be 10.
That's funny.
Magic time.
Yeah,
we're in magic time.
Magic time. Yes, well, we still have to see how magic time works with Cersei's pregnancy. Although we don't know how long women carry babies in.
What pregnancy? She could have her fake baby any day now.
She very well could have. and go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just looking at our recaps to see if we actually talked about everything. And I was like thinking that we didn't actually talk about the dragon pit scene that much.
Not really at all. I was just going to say. So I love the hound. I loved the hound in that scene. Like,
that was such a hound move.
Loved him. When he said, "You know who's coming for you," I was like, wow. Way to throw down.
Yeah.
And everyone kind of just wants that to happen and him to be like, beat the crap. And he just, I remember it's just like, they really messed you up. You're even uglier than you were before. He's like, not raised at all. Like, he's got a zombie brother now and he's just like, you're ugly.
Yep.
I could still beat you though.
Yep. Yep.
Ooh, can we talk about Euron?
Yes. Oh, Mr. Eyeliner himself, Mr. Guyliner. That's what I'm gonna call him from now on, Mr. Guyliner.
He does dress a lot like Captain Hook on Once Upon a Time, which he is really what I does. Call him.
Mr. Guy, you call him Guyliner?
I call him Annoying Guyliner, but that's another. That's another show. Anyway.
Yeah. So I just love that he like was like, okay, I'm out.
I mean, that is the logical reaction. Like, that's the most logical
character
reason. Like I have an I have an island.
Yep.
Let me go to the island.
They don't swim. I'm good. Good luck, guys. Yeah. Bye. You know, and
But then it was, you know, Cersei.
Yeah.
Made him do that too. Yeah. So.
Well, I mean, I'm sure she didn't tell him how to do it. So.
Right, because I doubted that she could have, even she could have predicted like that far
what the threat was going to be. But
that gave him an easy out.
Yeah, it really did. He's like, oh, this is no problem. You know, there's nothing to think of here.
See ya.
Yeah, and his whole thing with Theon was predictable.
Yeah,
I got your sister.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that'll be interesting, too. We haven't talked about that, to see what comes of Theon.
I was disappointed nothing happened with Yara.
Me too.
I know. I was kind of hoping to see her, too.
Yeah, I was hoping that she was going to be in this.
But I guess she's not dead. We don't really know, but I guess she's not.
Yeah, who knows? Euron lies a lot, so who knows?
Yeah, but I could see him holding her as fodder or you know, some a chess piece, a pawn that he could play, because he knows that he can get to Theon that way and potentially.
Well, that and Yara is kind of, they really did like Yara before he came along.
Yes, that's true.
She was pretty beloved.
Yes, that's true.
So I think like holding her hostage is one thing, killing her is another.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of it was kind of predictable, the reaction to, I was glad he was alive, because we were talking, Chris and I were talking before we watched it, about, like, would a right actually survive, a white actually survive?
Oh, right, yeah.
Because, like, Benjen said he couldn't come south of the wall.
Right. Yes, but the... I am totally inarticulate right now. First season, they come to Castle Black.
Yes.
And that's how, and John kills one.
Yeah, and that's what I said to that's what I said to Chris when we were talking about that. I'm like, but they have been south of the wall, because and somebody comes back to life south of the wall too, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's so that they actually cross the wall, or did someone get turned on the other side of the wall?
No, they cross. Like they found
right in
between. John was saying his vows at the Godswood beyond the wall, ghosts brings up a hand.
Right.
And they find the rest of the bodies and they pull them into Castle Black, and then it's one of those guys that wakes up and tries to kill Lord Commander Mormont. So So they have on south. I mean, Castle Black is like, I don't know, 3 feet south, but it's still south.
Well, so in terms of the magic, they've been south of the magic, which showed that they could actually come. So there was, you know, and of course they're building up the tension to it, you know, with them not kind of jumping out of the box, as I guess they anticipated he was going to.
Yeah.
But I thought that was all really well done. I think that the actress who plays Cersei has the most poisonous eyes I've ever seen on anybody.
There's a behind the scenes thing of the Dragon Pit scene.
That oh, was I haven't there. Watched that.
And, oh, they've got all the actors talking about it, and Peter Dinklage is like, Lena gives me this look that, oh my God.
I just wanted to drop dead just because.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously.
It was really funny.
Yeah. So, but I thought actually in terms of what happened, that it was actually kind of the least interesting of the scenes, mostly because it was a lot of exposition and it was a lot of stuff that kind of had to happen in this episode.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why we talked about it at least.
Yeah. It was a lot of looking
yeah,
at looking. Other people.
Yeah. Well, they said it took forever to film because they had to get like, so many angles. Everybody's
looking at everybody well, else.
Everybody right? looking at everybody. What?
11, 12, oh, you're looking 13, at the numbers. 14, 15, 17, 17 major characters in the scene, apparently.
Wow.
Like named people.
Yeah, I
Varys.
Read.
Oh, I guess Varys was there. He didn't
he was, do anything. Yeah. He didn't talk, but he was there.
Yeah, like everyone is there.
Yeah.
Podrick okay. and Bronn kind of piece they out real left. Quick. But
yeah.
Yeah, which I read, I think it was on a BuzzFeed list, that the actor who plays Bronn and the actress who plays Cersei don't like each other.
Oh, really?
Like, to the degree where they work very hard to keep them off the set at the same time.
Oh,
that's wow. And that was one of the theories as to why he exits so quickly.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Like, wasn't it just, like,
a it is kind
episode
of,
or two still, ago?
It's still where in character was, for
like,
him.
She was like,
oh, are you going to punish
set all this up and stuff, and she's like, are you going to do something? And
I was yeah, like, oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But at least, like I said, the exit is still very much in character for Bronn. He's like, right. I'm not taking a side. You guys figure this out.
Right.
I was yeah, half exactly. worried Cersei was going to do something insane.
I was afraid yeah. she was going to do something insane, too.
Because they did like, do, like a pan around, like, at all the people
yeah,
that she
all
has
all the guards that
them.
She had around and, mm-hmm. you know, kind of showing that they were surrounded once they were kind of on that stage where the seats were and... Yeah, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you conveniently got all your enemies in one place.
Right.
Huh. Yeah. Yeah. Just like she did last season.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So it just, what did she do then?
Yeah. I was a little tense on that, too. The only reason why I was less so was because she actually showed up. But until she showed up, I was like, you know.
Oh, no.
The archers could jump out from behind, you know, the bricks here and start just killing everybody. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that was, you know, partially intentional. Keep
yeah,
everybody.
I mean, you know, she was doing her thing to sort of like yeah. power play, and then she got one-upped.
Yeah.
By Danny, which is yeah. awesome.
Yes. Yes. That's, you know, that's good. That was good. So I'm trying to think, was that it? Oh, yes. And then the scene with Brienne and the Hound.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, where they're like, Arya's all grown up and murdery now.
Yes. Our happy little murderer. Yes. Yeah, I thought that was yeah. pretty funny.
Well, I'm sure he feels like he had a little bit of a role to play in that too. And it's true because, you know, she learned a lot of ruthlessness from him. And then there's even a throwback to that earlier in the season when she's at the inn with Hot Pie when he tells
oh, right.
her that. And she's like, you got any ale? That was like something that the Hound said, like,
yes.
You know, a few seasons ago when he killed those poor people that they, mm-hmm, that right. had taken them in. But that's one of the things he says in that is like, got any ale? Mm-hmm. So I laughed out loud when I heard her say that.
Yeah. Like, oh. Yeah. That was funny.
Okay. How about John's dumb little, I stand with only one queen shtick?
John is dumb. He's honest, but he's dumb. That's why I love Tyrion saying, could you at least learn to lie?
Just a little bit. A little bit. Yeah. I actually love that. I knew. I was like, oh, he's gonna.
That was so true to him, but yes. really.
Yeah, it was. But I love that. But I loved it. And like I said, like my little crush on him grew a little bit more with him actually doing that because, he had enough honor to say, you know, I've already done this. Yeah. As opposed to, and I think she would have forgiven him. I think she would have understood had he lied, but yeah. it was just so much more poignant and so much more important for him to be that character. And, you know, and potentially to follow in the same mistakes that Ned made.
Yeah.
Right. You know, cause he is setting himself up in the same way. Yeah. And you can go ahead.
But I guess that does open up the room for Tyrion to try to make a deal with Cersei, and that never would have happened if he'd been smart.
Right.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Which resolves a little bit between the two of them with their characters too.
Yeah.
And I think you had to have her storm off, because she had to have that moment where she felt like she was in charge of what was happening.
Yeah.
Which she still is, because of course she's backstabbing them, but
yeah.
You know. But she knew something. Everybody knew something.
Yeah.
Secondary had to be going on. I didn't call it. I didn't know. I didn't know. As soon as Euron was like, I'm out, I was like, that's who he is.
Yep. It's
indicative of his character. So I never would have placed that was what was happening. So that was good writing.
Yeah.
We want to go back to kind of comparing how some of the stories have unfolded. I read one critique that said they thought that Littlefinger should have died earlier in the season. Because they kind of dragged out the connection between them to keep that going.
Yeah. They did, right. But at the same time, like, it had us all baffled. Yeah,
we're all confused, like last episode. And
wondering what was going on. I think that was intentional.
Yeah, yeah. So. And I think that was kind of cool.
They needed the one death at the end anyway.
Right, and it needed
to be somebody. He was the only major guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
Oh, the other thing about the dragon pit scene that I love that was so hilarious was Qyburn. As soon as the hand is up, the hand of picking up it. How is this working? What can I do with this?
You know? I was like, oh my god, he's a psycho scientist.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying too. I'm like, oh god, don't let him touch that. Don't let him near it, because it's like
you are actually Frankenstein right now.
Yeah. Like you know, he immediately got a hard on. He's like, oh, look at that.
Yeah.
How do I make that? He's like, oh, that's a better zombie than the one I made.
Yeah. And he like runs right out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Like there's no like hesitation or worry or anything. It's like, yeah, I like, got to touch me a dead hand. Animated. He's madness. Yeah. He's just that care. Oh, he's just nuts. Oh. He's going to have to be the next. He's like the next Littlefinger, right? The character that like has creeped you out for so long that you just want to see his throat slit.
Yeah.
He's like the he's like the scientist in Wonder Woman.
Right.
Like the crazy one behind the power.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, he was. That's another creepy meme I saw. That's another meme I saw. It was like, find you a guy who looks at you like he looks at a dead animated hand.
Oh my god.
That's what I thought. The internet is a funny place, you have to say. I mean, it's crazy and there's bad things that happen there too, but the internet is a funny place on occasion, especially with Game of Thrones memes. Yes. It opens itself up so beautifully for memes though.
Yeah.
All right, final thoughts. Let's have some closing thoughts. Let's wrap up here.
I have to watch. I was planning to watch it again this afternoon, but my husband just back from Gamescom yesterday, so we only did a half day, and so he had Anna home from school, and they were building this robot for forever. It's really cool. It's built now, but it took him all day, so I didn't have time to go watch it. So I love that I was surprised that it was the dragon that brought the wall down. I didn't think the wall was coming down this season, so I'm pretty pleased with that. Yeah. However, that means that things are going to go hell of a lot more faster, even than it did this season.
Which is an amazing to think with how fast things went this season.
Yeah, because, it's not going to take that army that long to get to Winterfell.
No, not at all. Yeah,
I mean, it's taken them like an entire season to get from one place to the other to the wall.
Yeah. Yeah.
But okay.
The John Danny thing is still, I mean, kind of, knew it was going to happen, didn't want it to happen. It does feel so awkward, and it, not just so much of what is actually happening, just the actors just don't. They just don't. Every interaction that they have had with each other has just felt awkward, you know, and strange. So, yeah, love Sansa, love Arya. I can't wait to see what
comes of them. The Stark children, like in the united front that is the Stark children in Winterfell is pretty powerful. Yes. Let's hope they don't get eaten by White Walkers.
Yeah, so I gotta watch again. Overall, I'm pretty happy with it.
Yeah.
But like, I'm sure I'll find things that I didn't see the first time around.
What about you, Isabella?
I'm disappointed that they made Theon win a fight because he had been castrated. I was like, really?
And with spit tape on that one. Did we have to do
that? I was like, come on. And he's just like, haha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the look on his face.
This is the moment he gets his empowerment.
It was like, really?
He's empowered at this fight.
Well, you know what? He's owning it, though. He's taking his injuries and...
Yeah,
you know,
like, and I can appreciate that, but it was just, I don't know.
Yeah,
that
I know.
Whole scene. I hope that storyline is outstanding, because at this point, I'm just like, we could just drop this. As much as I love Yara, he has just been like,
can Yara just break herself out and we can be done?
Right.
Yeah.
Can she just show
gonna
up?
Die. I mean, he's totally going to die next season.
Yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind that he's going
to
die.
Sacrifice to save her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, his only redemption line is going to be that. I thought that's what he was going to do for Sansa at one point. So I can see that as his redemption line. So yeah, that was disappointing. But I find him disappointing as a character just in general. Like, I can empathize. I felt empathy for him when he jumped off the boat, because I could see how, you know, PTSD was triggered. But
yeah,
he just made some really bad choices.
Yeah. The whole conversation between him and John, I thought, was actually really good. It was one of the better scenes in the episode.
Mostly because it gave John, I don't see John being empathetic very often.
Right.
You don't see him show a lot of empathy. And I was really pleased to see him show that level of empathy with him.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, you know, hammered home the fact too that John is talking about how, you know, Ned Stark was more Theon's dad than Baelon was. But then there was, you know, like, oh, John's still gonna say Ned Stark was more his dad because he, you know, never knew his real dad. So, so that was part of that scene too. So
I was like, thinking about that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and then I was thinking about how it tied back to Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, he may be your father, but, you know, I'm your daddy, right? Right?
Right.
Yes. Interesting that these themes are recurring. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good episode. I thought it was a good season. I do think I'm a little on the fence about the pacing. I feel like I wouldn't have minded a couple of slower moving plot lines for things to have not happened quite so quickly and there to have been 10 episodes. Because I think there had enough material here that they could have expanded out and done a little bit more character development and easily done 10 episodes for the season. So I have a little, I'm a little on the fence about how quickly everything moved.
Yeah, and it was kind of contrast a little bit too. So like Sam's storyline, I think went at a perfect pace, like a normal pace we're used to. Whereas
like
John
a normal
and
season
thing was just like
That here and there and there and there and back and forth and you know and all these different things and so much of it happening. And was John in every episode? Like,
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's the first time we've seen that kind of continuity where we haven't had
Danny's in every episode.
Danny was in every episode. Yeah, so I think that. That was interesting to have that many where you didn't have like the second to last episode, the episode we talked about last time, where, you know, Cersei wasn't and Jaime weren't in it at all. Like I almost missed that. Like, I know some people aren't a fan of that because they don't like the episodes where they don't see their favorite character, but at least that way you get a little bit more time spent with each of those characters as opposed to
much
pacing.
That's a good complaint if you have like seven major characters running around.
Right.
Yeah.
But that episode we only saw like two people, like two locations.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that was kind of rough, but you know, that's kind of what I guess what happens when you're pushing the stories so fast.
Mm. Yeah, because now everyone is in the same place, like pretty much.
Everybody's going to be. I don't know. Except Cersei.
I don't know how to react to this.
Yeah.
Everyone is not flung all the way around the globe.
Our merry band of adventurers have finally landed on the same continent. That's right. And it's in the same, you know, I guess you'd call it a town. I don't know if Winterfell's a town. Outpost, maybe. Whatever. They're all going to be in the same place together. It's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out. So that'll be fun. But we can talk about that more next week. All right. Thanks, guys, for listening. Watching, we would love to hear what you have to say. So please leave our feedback on thegeekembassy.com. Don't forget to catch me and Nicole on Gaming with the Moms. Links are on the website as well to catch that. Just have it in your podcast feed. You know, you should be listening to it because it's us and we're awesome.
we let this guy hang out with us.
Let this guy hang out with us, and he's already too, I guess. But let us know your theories. Let us know what you thought of the season. We'd love to hear your feedback. And until next time, winter is in King's Landing.
I know. Wow.